Many years ago, in London, England, two men were going to a church service in the morning. A man had invited his friend to hear this particular preacher. And after the service, the man said to his friend, "What do you think?" And he said, "I have never heard such a man as we heard this morning. I've never heard such stories, such diction, the way he put it all together, all his alliteration and the points he made. I've never heard such an orator. He was great. That guy was really great. I've never heard a speaker like that before." And in the evening, the two of them went to the Metropolitan Tabernacle to hear Charles Spurgeon preach. And after the service, the man said to his friend, "What did you think?" And he said, "What a savior." What a savior. My prayer is that we'll go away from this camp and we'll say, it's been a what a savior camp. Amen. What a savior. Isn't Jesus a wonderful savior?
Amen.
Un applauso. Amen. We started out by looking at five places in the New Testament where Jesus said, "Be of good cheer" to people. And then we looked at four things that God has given us. I told you I would test you. The first thing He has given us, He's given us an example. He has given us a commandment. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His peace. Right. That was the four things that God has given us. This morning, we looked at three words. It was only a three-word message. It all starts with the letter A. Those three words were...
Anything.
Once again.
Anything.
Louder.
Anything.
So we're all now members of the AAA Club, correct? Amen. Yes. Tonight I'm going to give you two words. What's with this guy? I'll tell you what's with this guy. I live in Titusville, Florida, which is 40 miles due east of Orlando, right on the coast. We're adjacent to the Kennedy Space Center. We can sit on our front lawn and watch the shuttle take off. So, I have a countdown mentality. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'm going to give you two words tonight. Do you believe that this book is inspired by God?
Yes,
you do. If you had to point to any verse in the Bible to substantiate that, I wonder where you would turn. I know where I would turn. I'm going to turn you to that verse in a moment. Two words that I'm going to leave with you tonight that confirm to me, anyway, that God wrote this book. That God inspired this book. The two words... powerful words are found in Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And we will, in the reading, come across the two words, and we'll see if anybody can get it. Two words that convinced me that God wrote this book. Mark 16, verse 1. "Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him, as he said to you." And so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. There's two words in that reading, powerful words, that convinced me that God wrote this book. Anyone have a guess as to what those two words are?
Roll away?
No. No.
Was crucified and risen?
No, that's more than two words. Sorry? No. Did you give up? And Peter? And Peter! Those are the two words. And Peter. Let me turn you, first of all, to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 13. "She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son." The earlier account that we read in the Gospel was written by Mark. You know, he wasn't a disciple of Jesus. Peter is referring to him as his son. So Mark would have received most of his information in the Gospels from Peter. Mm-hmm. This is the only Gospel that records these two words. And Peter. These words convinced me that God wrote this book. Only God would have put those two words into the record. Let's read it again. Verse 6, this is the angel speaking to the women. "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples that he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him, as he said to you." If they had come back to the disciples, and that's all they said, what would Peter have said? "That does not apply to me." Mm-hmm. Why not? Why not? Because he denied the Lord. Isn't God gracious? Isn't God kind and merciful? That he would put those two words into the record so that Peter would know that he was not forsaken. And this teaches us how God deals with failures.
Amen.
And Peter, aren't they powerful words?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise he would have said, "It doesn't apply to me in light of what I have done. It's unforgivable. It's inexcusable that I denied my Lord." Peter. And Peter. I think those are two very, very powerful words for us tonight. For any in the room who think, I've really done it this time, I've gone too far this time, I've really blown it, this is what the record says. We love Peter, don't we?
Yeah.
There's almost as much writing about Peter in the Gospels as there is about Jesus. And he was, he's outstanding. He was obviously the one that was always engaging mouth before brain. And he was always right there. You love his heart. You love his passion, don't you?
Yeah.
I went through the Gospels and I recorded some of the sayings of Peter that we read. You're familiar with them. I wrote them down. And what we get are the great heights and depths of Peter, the great successes and the great failures. Listen to this. Just have a listen. Lord, we have left all and followed you. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come on the water. Lord, save me. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head too. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Be it far from thee, Lord. Thou knowest all things. You know that I love you. I'm going fishing. Lord, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. I don't know the man. And he went out and he wept bitterly. To me, it's an amazing thing that Peter didn't commit suicide the way Judas did. But I know why he didn't. And I know, well, I think I know. I'll ask him when I get there. I think he had two favorite passages of Scripture. And in his weeping, bitterly, brokenhearted, denying his Lord, I believe he would have turned to the passage we heard so eloquently quoted the other night. Psalm 103. I believe he would have prayed such a prayer and reminded himself of verses. Isn't the Word of God powerful? Aren't you thankful that we have the Scripture?
Hallelujah.
And that in our darkest moments, we can turn to the Word of God and find, as the Scripture says in Romans 15, verse 4, the comfort of the Scriptures. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And especially verse 10. He would have prayed and reminded himself, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Isn't that so true of the Lord? I could give testimony to that God has not rewarded me to my sins, according to my sins. We do not always reap what we sow. God is very gracious, isn't He?
Amen.
And we're so thankful that so much He covers up and we don't see the consequence of our sin. He doesn't reward us according to our sins and our iniquities. But this is how God deals with failures. Empty tomb. resurrected Christ, the blood taken before the Father and accepted as complete payment to satisfy the justice and the wrath and the anger of God that should have been poured out on all mankind. We've now been forgiven. And the angel is dispensed by the Father and the Son to the disciples and Peter. He goes before you. A new day is coming. A new beginning is coming. I, who was once with you, am now going to live within you by my Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Despite your failure, your multiple failure, and this is how God deals with failures. He gives second chances, doesn't He?
Amen.
And third chances, and fourth chances, and fifth chances. Is there anyone here this evening who needs a second chance? God has brought you here this evening. You've got some monumental failure written over your life tonight. I'm a golfer. Not much of a golfer. I shoot in the high 70s when I play. And if it gets any hotter than that, I don't play. Out in Los Angeles, there's a golf course. It's called Rancho Park Golf and Country Club. And on the ninth hole, which is a par 5, they've got this plaque there that says this: On Friday, January the 6th, 1961, Arnold Palmer, the 1960 Golfer of the Year and Athlete of the Year, took a 12 on this hole. They got a plaque there. You talk about a monument to failure. Every time they play that hole, you read this. This is Peter's monument to failure. This is how he's known, isn't it? He denied the Lord. Of course, the scripture says that they all denied the Lord, not just Peter, but he's the spokesperson, as it were. God does give second chances. Praise the Lord. He does come to failures. I could so easily preach from Samson. Judges 16, verse 20, and the scripture says, "And Samson's hair began to grow again." Second chance. I could turn you to Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. "And the word of the Lord came a second time to Jonah." Aren't we thankful that God gives second chances? Do we have any Peters here tonight who have failed the Lord, denied the Lord, and you're well aware of it, and you've got an enemy? You know what? I believe the enemy's a liar. Amen? He's a liar and a deceiver. But I don't know about you, but I find he is most powerful, not when he comes with the lie, but when he comes with the truth. For instance, he could accuse me of being a drunk and a druggie. To my shame, I've been drunk once in my life. Won't tell you the story. And I don't know what it is to stick a needle in my arm. I've never smoked marijuana. I don't know any of those things. I've only slept with one woman. I've only had one woman. I've only known one woman. In my mind, I've slept with many. But I've only physically slept with one woman. But I'm just as great a sinner as anybody else, those who have done those things. But the enemy could come and accuse me of being a druggie or an alcoholic, and I would slough that off. But it's when he comes, is it, "Yeah, but you did this. You did do this." He comes with the truth. And unless you have a greater word to overrule the truth, you're finished. And thankfully, we have a greater word. Amen?
Amen.
We have the blood of Jesus. We have the person of Christ who went to the cross to take all of my sins, both before I became a Christian and after I became a Christian, who nailed all of my sins on the cross. And we point the devil to Jesus, where my sins were taken away. Hallelujah. What do you do when you read the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew? Do you jump right to verse 18 like most of us do? You know, you go through all those names. The Lord convicted me one time because I would do that. And because He reminded me that all Scripture is given by inspiration. I thought, what in the world can you get out of the genealogy of Jesus? But just look at a couple of names here, right at the beginning, in chapter 1 of Matthew. You talk about failures, and you talk about those needing second chances. Just look in the first verse, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The son of David, Abraham. Are these guys poster boys for holiness and righteousness and never made a mistake, never made a failure? Never had a failure? No. Abraham, the liar? Mm-hmm. No. Just say you're my sister. Remember that? Just say you're my sister. David, was he free from sin?
No.
Was he pure? Mm-hmm. No, he was a murderer. He was an adulterer. We go on. Father begets son. Isaac, same thing. Did the same thing, didn't he? Jacob begat Judah. Okay. Judah begat Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Who was Tamar?
His daughter-in-law.
Okay. We go on in verse... where should we go? Verse 5. Salma begat Boaz by Rahab. Who was Rahab?
The harlot.
Harlot, right. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Ruth was a
Moabite.
Where did the Moabites come from? They came from an incestuous relationship between Lot and his two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her, who had been the wife of Uriah the Hittite. What was her name?
Bathsheba.
This is the line that Jesus came through. You think, what a checkered past for a Messiah to have.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Jesus came through the kinds of people He wants to minister to. Got it? Jesus came through the kind of people He wants to minister to. Liars and cheats and murderers and thieves and prostitutes and on and on and on. Sinners. That's who He came through. Those are the people He wants to minister to and cleanse and free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
With so many of us, it's our background that is still in the foreground, putting us underground. We've got a new beginning in Christ Jesus. We heard this morning, this afternoon at the baptism. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. If any man, any woman, any person be in Christ, they are a brand new creation, a new creature. The old is passed away. Behold, I make all things new. Aren't you thrilled with that? Don't we give glory and praise to God for that? Everything becomes new. We're new creatures in Christ.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We read in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father, verse 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Whenever I read the word us, does that mean I can put my name there?
Yes.
Does that include me? He's writing to Christians. I'm going to put my name there. Wherever I see us, you put your name there. Blessed be Sandy. He's blessed Sandy with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose Sandy in Him before the foundation of the world, that Sandy should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined Sandy to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made Sandy accepted in the Beloved.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Who did all this? God did all this. What part did I have to play in all this?
Nada.
God did it all.
Hallelujah.
Before I was born, before the foundation of the world. And what is it that trips you up? It is your history. It is your background. It is your propensity. It is your proclivity that trips you up. It's your nature. But this book says that before we did anything, before the foundation of the world, we were accepted, we were chosen, we were predestined in Christ. Doesn't that liberate your soul?
Amen.
Because it's your history that messes you up. But this book, this passage of Scripture, teaches us that you're a prehistoric being. Say to the person beside you, do you know that you're a prehistoric creature?
You're a prehistoric
creature. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise, and hallelujah. You're a prehistoric creature, and some of you look like it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, how to be free from our sin, from our past, from our history. It's no longer putting us underground. You come to our church, and I would challenge you, I don't think you could do this, but we have 10 people in our church who are ex-felons. One woman committed murder. She murdered her son-in-law. He deserved it. No. I won't go into the story. She was in 15 years she got. She murdered her son-in-law. We've got 10 ex-felons in our church. But these people, you couldn't tell because they're brand new creatures in Christ. Isn't it what a gospel we have? What a gospel we have. I had one, this group of ladies coming to our church, and they came 3 Sundays in a row, and then one of them came and asked me if they could talk to me privately, and I said, sure, and so made an appointment. It was a Tuesday morning, I'll never forget it, went to my office, sat down, and she said to me, the first thing you need to know is that my name is not Diane, it's Bruce. Transvestite. And so I'm sitting there like, you know, I've heard this before. And he, she, they began to tell me how they'd heard the gospel. He had heard the gospel and began to be drawn in by the love of Christ.
Amen.
And was given hope that somehow out of this horrific mess that he had made of his life, that God could forgive him and set him on course. So he's telling me the story of his life and how he'd gone to different psychologists and psychiatrists and saying, you know, he felt like a woman, and they, to their I won't say anything, but they said, well, if that's how you feel, we can fix that. you want to be a woman, we can fix that. He told me that on the operating table before he went under, he is screaming out inside, somebody stop them, stop it, don't let them do it. And anyway, he went through with it, and he lived like that for some time. And I'm listening to his story, and I thought, Lord, what in the world can I say to this man? I'd never heard such a story before. And I'm so thankful for the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And the Lord brought this passage of Scripture to me from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I read this to him, that, pardon me, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He's sitting opposite to me. Verse 9. Do you not know, and I read this to him, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Mm-hmm. Beloved, this is our gospel. What a gospel.
Hallelujah.
That no one has gone so far and is such a failure that they can't be redeemed by the powerful blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a gospel.
Yes.
Yes. And I said to this man, Bruce, I said, what you have done to yourself is almost blasphemous, because you've said, God, you've created me wrong. You've made a mistake. You made me a man. I should have been a woman. He said, what should I do? So I said, I don't know what the consequences are involved here. I don't know what it's going to cost you. He was a community bus driver, worked for the city. I said, but you have got to go back to what God created you to be originally, and that was a man. And to his credit, he did it. Good thing he had one of those government jobs where they're really liberal, because you know, behind his bus seat, they have the name tag, and they had his name, Diane, his last name. And so he went in and told his boss exactly. He spilled the beans. He did. And he said, I want to be called Bruce from now on. So the boss said, we'll just change the sign. So they gave him a new sign.
Oh, man.
To this day, that man, believe it or not, that man now is happily married to a woman who from birth has had CP, and he's a worship leader in the church. And you wouldn't know, but that's his story. What a Savior.
Amen.
No man can be praised for this. No psychologist, no psychiatrist, no preacher, just with good words. Only Jesus can do that.
Amen.
So in our church, just like your church, some of you, we're quoting Vance Havner this morning, and he said, we're all cut from the same mold. It's just some of us are a little moldier than others. But in our church, we're saints with a past. We're saints with a past. But thankfully, sinners have a future too. All sinners have a future in Christ, don't they?
Yeah.
But I wanted to emphasize this today to our church one day. So I do these odd things from time to time. You're not surprised. No, I didn't steal the towels. I didn't steal the lace baskets. I wanted to emphasize in a very dramatic way that, because a lot of these folks, they're carrying a lot of baggage from the past. multiple marriages, affairs, pregnancies, births out of wedlock, abortions, jail time, like I said, all kinds of mistakes and failures and regrets. And what I did was, I went to Walmart and put the shopping cart back. And I bought, I can't remember how many helium-filled balloons, red helium-filled balloons. And I filled the front of the church with these red helium balloons. And I preached a message on the grace of God and the forgiveness that is given to us, and that He really does make us brand new, and the old is put away. And we've got quite a large church property, 3.5 acres, so we've got a big field out the side of the church. And I said, what we're going to do this morning to really seal this is each one of us, we're going to take one of these balloons. These balloons representing all your failures, all your mistakes, all your regrets, all the pain of your past. And we're going to release these things unto Jesus. And it was an incredible sight. Can you get the picture? You know, hundreds of these balloons going up in the air, having each person, they just prayed their own personal private prayer of thanksgiving and worship to Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. Because they heard the message that I believe, Jesus, that you can make any person new. I believe there's hope for me. I believe that there's forgiveness at the cross and cleansing at the cross for me. And they all went out. And to see those balloons go up, and we all looked and watched. And the thing is, we watched until they were out of sight. We could no longer see them. And isn't that what He does? As far as the east is from the west, He takes our sin away. Couldn't see it. I'll tell you, if I had time, I'd go get balloons tonight. Because that's what He's done. All taken away. All of my sins taken away. Praise be to God. He didn't commit suicide. He went out and He wept bitterly. And this is what He prayed. I can just about bank on it. He'll correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what He prayed from Psalm 51. What was his monument of failure? What did He do? If there had been a golf course back there, they would have said, Peter denied the Lord. Right? This is what He prayed, beloved. Psalm 51. No doubt the whole psalm, and you're familiar with it. But particularly, from verse 10, picture him weeping, alone, on his face, just crushed by what he has done, burdened by his denial. And he prays this prayer, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. And Lord, if you answer that prayer, verse 13, then I will teach transgressors your ways of love, of kindness, of goodness, of forgiveness, and sinners shall be converted to you. How do I know that that prayer was answered? Of course, we read that Peter was a part of that company of 120 who were filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and he was a new man in Christ Jesus, and he was the leader, the spokesman. And he stood up on that great day in chapter 3, and this is what he preached. Tell me again, what was on Peter's plaque? What was his monument to failure? What did it say? You
denied
the Lord, right?
Yep.
Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 3. We'll break right into his sermon. In verse 12, when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though we, by our own power or godliness, have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and you denied." In the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. "But you denied the Holy One and the Just One and asked a murderer to be granted to you in his place." What was he saying to them? What was their sin? What was he accusing them of? What did they do? "You denied him." This is Peter.
Mm-hmm.
"You denied him." "You denied the Lord." And no doubt within, although he's preaching this with power and forgiveness, and as a new man, he's saying, "Even as I did, you denied him. Lord, if you heal me, if you forgive me, if you restore the joy of salvation to me, if you uphold me by your strong spirit, Lord, oh God, and make me new. Even as you promised, Lord Jesus, you prayed that Satan wanted to sift me as wheat, and surely he has, but you prayed. You said, Lord, I am praying for you. And when you are converted, when you are turned, Peter, strengthen your brethren and preach this gospel
Amen.
Of grace and forgiveness to all mankind. Lord, you do this for me, then I will teach transgressors your way, and they will be converted. Hallelujah. And this is our message. We're no longer bound by our sin, any of it, by our past. We go forth in the newness and fullness of the Spirit, and we preach Jesus and Him crucified, and Him as the only solution for sinful humanity, the only answer to man's dilemma of being separated from God. And for even those who have failed, praise be to God. God willing, Beth and I are going to Australia in November. Please pray that we'll be able to make that trip. Already booked the tickets. But before I go to a new country, I'd like to do a bit of research. It's very interesting. Do you know the national shield of Australia? It's got two animals on the shield. Do you know what those two animals are? It's got also the six states of Australia, but it's got two animals on the shield, on the national emblem. Anybody know what the two animals are?
Kangaroo.
One is a kangaroo.
An emu.
And an emu, that's correct. One is a kangaroo, the other one's an emu. And the thing about the kangaroo and the emu, two things. First of all, they're native to Australia. The emu and red kangaroo, you won't find anywhere else but Australia. But secondly, this is very interesting, neither one of them can walk backwards. They can't walk backwards. And so every time an Australian looks at his national shield and sees those two animals, there's no going back. No turning back. No looking back. It's all forward. It's all forward from this night. Do we have any Peters here? What's our two-word message tonight?
And Peter.
Louder.
And Peter.
Once again.
And Peter.
Are you with me? Are you convinced that God wrote this book by putting those two words in?
Amen.
Amen. Only God would have. He sees the heart of this man broken. And he needs to hear it personally. Just as you and I need to hear the word of God quicken to us personally. Yes, it's for you. This gospel is for you. Hallelujah. Well, close with three things. To him who stands, take heed lest you fall. To him who stands, take heed lest you fall. To him who has a wandering loved one, as a result of Ann Peter, take heed, take hope tonight. Take hope and keep praying. The greatest failure recovery story that we have in the Bible, Jesus told the story of the prodigal son. So if you have a loved one that's wandering from the Lord, who's really messing up big time, take hope. Keep praying. And if you can identify with Peter tonight, and you're very, very conscious of failure, and that you're burdened still with sin, this message might be for one person tonight, which is okay. It might be just one Peter here. Then this is your night tonight. This is your opportunity tonight to receive cleansing and forgiveness from the Lord. Let's pray. Do we have any Peters in the room tonight? This is a message of grace. This is the Lord Jesus himself coming by his Spirit and Word to your heart once again. The resurrected, risen Lord Jesus Christ coming to you and drawing you back to himself and to his cleansing blood. You who have failed him again. Any Peters in the room? And that you want to stand up in the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I come back tonight. Thank you for speaking to me. Lord, I believe you can make me whole. I need cleansing tonight. I'm Peter. This is my name, but I can identify with Peter. Any Peters tonight, you stand up that we might pray for you. This message is for you, that you would hear this message. Any trace of past guilt, shame, failing the Lord, not good enough, messed up? Any Peters here tonight? Yes, there are some in the room. God bless you. We'll just wait a moment. This is your opportunity tonight. This message is for you. God's going to restore you. Not only restore you, but in the restoration, he's going to use you. He's going to put your sin and your failure behind you so that you can, with boldness, go and speak and even come against the very sin that you yourself have committed. Mm-hmm. And sinners will be converted. Mm-hmm. Any other Peters would like to stand up tonight? Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. This message, Lord, encourages all of our hearts. But we thank you that you've particularly applied it to these two precious brothers who are standing in your presence. And you know all the details, Lord, all the circumstances, why they stand before you. Lord, perhaps they, like Peter, have wept bitterly over their failure, over their sin. And you've spoken to them, Lord. Oh, powerfully and graciously, you've called them again to yourself. And I ask you now, Lord, you alone can do the work of cleansing, washing. Lord, forgiving them. Now fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Refresh them with your Spirit.
Amen.
Seal, Lord, your word and your promise to them with your Spirit. And let them go forth from this place tonight with a clear conscience, full of the Holy Ghost and with power. And use them, Lord, to share this glorious gospel of grace. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with those that you bring across their path. That they can find their Peters, Lord, out there in the world where you place them. And they can bring this message of hope to them as well. All to the glory, honor, and praise. And we're going to say one last time, all glory be to God. Let's shout it out. Glory be to God. Amen.